Now we're going to the major prophet. What is the mission of a prophet? There are two important missions. The first one is foretelling, which means make public of God's will. The second is foresight. You know that in the time of Old Testament, especially in the time of major prophet, at that time, they have only about Torah, the first five books. So other than that, they have no other books. So God used the prophet to convey the message of God to the Israelite. And the message will either God inspire the prophet, or God show a vision to the prophet, or God give a message to the prophet, and the prophet just running around the whole country and convey the message. So New Testament, when we talk about prophecy, it's different. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talk about prophecy. In our church, interpretation in the other church different. Quite often, if you see the Pentecostal church, they will ask you, does your church have any prophecy? But our church interpret prophecy as deliver the sermon. Because all the will of God is hidden in the Bible. And the key to open the Bible is the Holy Spirit. So anyone who pray, filled by the Holy Spirit, and spend time to study the Bible will understand the will of God more and deeper than other people. So when we convey our understanding of the will of God through the scripture, and that is called New Testament time, the meaning of prophecy, foretell the will of God through the teaching of the Bible. So it's different from the other denomination explained. The so-called prophecy, especially in the older, in the Africa, the most common is a lot of so-called prophet. They will prophesy in certain day, in certain night, you are going to have car accident, I already pray for you, so car accident will not happen. Something like that. So their way of so-called prophecy a little bit similar to so-called the fortune teller. But we don't interpret in that way. False telling. The prophet have the insight into the will of God. So God reveal his sight, his will through different ways. For example, God give the Ten Commandments to Moses, and the book of Jeremiah or the book of Ezekiel, God give the message to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. What should they proclaim to the whole country? But in conclusion, they have insight into the will of God. So the prophet always should be very intimate with God. You know, the First Samuel talk about a prophet. First Samuel chapter 1. Right? Just like Eli. Right? Yeah. And the Bible specially mentioned that there are not, when Eli was old, there was not too much of inspiration. And that was a very serious problem, you know. In Old Testament, they have no scripture. But if God did not give them inspiration, they have nothing to say. No. But the young one, the Samuel, even though he was very young, right? Still, God gave him a lot of inspiration. In the evening, God called his name. And Samuel wake up and ask Eli, are you calling me? Eli said, no. All right. So he has a lot of inspiration from God. The Old Testament, a prophet must have inspiration from God. And in the book of Psalm, David talk about in the evening, deep evening, early in the morning, a lot of inspiration come from the Lord in his heart. And that kind of inspiration is very edifying. And that kind of inspiration is very very powerful to transform a person. So because it is an insight into the will of God, so it is more exhortative, exhort the people you have to follow. You have to return according to what God revealed to me. This is the first mission. And the second mission is foresight. Foresight means God will let the person know what is going to happen. Just like Jeremiah, after he preached the warning, foretelling the warning for 23 years, Jeremiah repeating the same message. What is the same message? 23 years, Jeremiah only conveys one message. What is the message? Jeremiah. Very simple, huh? Return. Don't worship the idol. Otherwise, judgment is coming. Only this simple message. Preach for 23 years. From morning to the evening. If you are the people in that generation, you will get tired, right? Same message, 23 years, right? But 23 years, nobody heeded the message. All right? If your mother nagging you, not 23 years, right? Not 23 months, not 23 days, right? A few hours, then you plan to move out already, right? 23 years. Foresight. And that on God Jeremiah know that they are going to be exiled for 70 years. So Jeremiah start to proclaim, they are going to exile for 70 years. And then God let Jeremiah know they are going to come back after 70 years. Oh, then Jeremiah go and proclaim, you have to be submissive to Babylon, and then you will come back. Now, foresee what is going to happen. Now, so because of this, the mission of the prophet is more so-called predictive, a prediction of what is going to happen. So what is a false prophet? The false prophet means they say something in will happen in the future, but it doesn't happen. So if we see any member nowadays say, I saw a vision, God inspired me, God gave me revelation, and something is going to happen, eventually nothing happened. What happened? What happened? False prophet, right? Either by imagination or interpret personal feeling as God's will, or come from other spirit. There are many different possibilities. If it did come from God, it's definitely well fulfilled. So whether we judge whether a person's vision is true or not, if the person prophesies what is going to happen, you just wait and see. If it does not happen, then it's not from God. The major prophet, the mission. Then, what kind of role does the prophet play? The first role is preacher. Just like Jonah preached the warning of God to the city of Nineveh. So the major prophet preached the warning of God too. So he's a preacher. The second, the prophet plays the role of predictor. Let's turn to in one verse. It's something you can see. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. Okay. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and then none of his world fall to the ground. So what does that mean, the world fall to the ground? What does that mean? The world fall to the ground means you say something and nothing happened. That means fall to the ground. If when the world fall to the ground, right, the authority of a prophet also fall to the ground. Nobody is going to respect you. So whatever Samuel conveyed God's message, that will happen. So everybody start to respect Samuel. He was a person who really had the abundance of God. He was a person who was really very close to God. So whatever God inspired him, it will happen. They will fear Samuel just like they fear God, because God was with Samuel. So it's a predictor. Of course, the the prophet cannot predict by their own will, right? Because I don't like you, so I predict you are going to die. Nothing is going to happen. Oh, if they substitute their personal preference with the words of God, and they don't, we will fall into the category of like Eli. The inspiration from God will become less and less because the person is not faithful to God. Now, and the third one is watchmen. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give that warning from me. So, Ezekiel served as a watchman. A prophet served as a watchman. Now, we're going to Isaiah. Let me ask you a very simple mathematical question. 66 minus 39 equal to how many? 66 minus 39. It's so simple. You get an answer. Hey, brother, you are meditating. 66 minus 39. 27. Oh, you are very smart. Even you are meditating, still can answer. Why do I ask the question? Because in Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, there are 39 chapters in the first section. In the second part of section is 27 chapter. So totally it add up 66. And first 39 section is very similar to Old Testament. Do you know? When you compare with the Old Testament and New Testament, what's the difference? Have you heard about the truth seeker say, oh, the Old Testament God, I don't like it. I don't worship that God. I like to worship the God in New Testament. Have you heard about this kind of comment? How come the Old Testament God is, the person don't like it? Because it killed too many people. Right? From Genesis onward, God killed a lot of people. But actually, the Old Testament, that God is the same with the God in New Testament, right? Yeah. And what happened in Old Testament killed so many people? Oh, because the Old Testament, a lot of time, God exercised his justice. After proclaimed the message by the prophet, nobody listened, and God exercised his judgment. So a lot of people being killed. The same God is in New Testament. But in the New Testament, God sent Jesus Christ to preach the words of mercy. So Jesus Christ bring grace and what? Truth. So it come the first Jesus' second coming is mercy. Now, so a lot of people feel the God in New Testament is more what? Merciful, more lenient. However, if we read the last book of New Testament, Revelation, what is going to happen? The second coming of Jesus Christ, he is going to come with justice. And in that moment, the justice of God is going to be so angry and pull down all the disaster to the world. And that kind of disaster even incomparable with what happened in the Old Testament. So God has no change. The only change in New Testament is grace come first. If we don't accept the grace, then we have to face the justice of God. Oh, so God is equal to everybody. Oh, are you going to enter the ark of Noah, right? Oh, if you don't, when the door closed, the flood is coming. When the flood is coming, what should you do? You cry to the roof, right? And flood reach to the roof, you cry to where? The top of the tree. And the friend of flood reach to the top of the tree. Where are you going? You know where to go. And die. How come die? Because when the ark, the door is opening, we don't want to go in. Now, so the first 39 chapter of Isaiah is talk about the judgment of God. And then start from chapter 40 onwards is talk about the mercy of God. The comfort from God. So, the theme, salvation is bestowed by grace, not power of God, the Redeemer. God will not permit unholiness in his covenant people. So, the book of Isaiah, actually is talk about God's covenantal love with his own people. There is key words, salvation. It happened many times. And key verse. You know, Isaiah also called the gospel book in the Old Testament. The gospel book in the Old Testament. How come? Because Isaiah have many prophecy related to Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, verse 14. Talk about what? Let's go quickly. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You talk about. A virgin will deliver a baby, right? And the name shall call Emmanuel. So what does that mean? A baby born by a virgin is Jesus Christ. And his name shall call Emmanuel. Some people say, oh, then Jesus Christ should call Emmanuel. How come he wasn't called Emmanuel? That means after the child born, what's the meaning of Emmanuel? God will be with man. So after the child born, the human being will come into a new era. What kind of era? God will abide with man. Because sin has been resolved. So man re-enter into the Garden of Eden. Then if we reach to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7, and this is also a very famous verse. Unto us a child was born, and he has four different kind of title, right? Wonderful Counselor, actually these two words, but usually we combine it together. Wonderful Counselor, and the second one is Almighty God, and the third one is Everlasting Father, and the last one is Prince of Peace. Among the human being, can we find any person is Almighty God? There's only one person. It's Jesus Christ, right? Human being is human being. God is God. God not equal to human being. Human being not equal to God. But only one person, he has two status. He's a God and at the same time he's a man. It's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has genealogy. That is proof. He is a man, but also Jesus Christ comes from the Holy Spirit. So he represents God himself. That's chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. And then chapter 53, there's another prophecy, and this is a very famous prophecy, chapter 53. Chapter 53 talk about a person just like a sprout come out of the dry land. You know, the dry land means don't have too much water and nutrition. So the sprout come out of the dry land, it will look not beautiful at all. So Jesus Christ, just like a sprout come from the dry land, he had no outer appearance to attract people. And then chapter 53 talk about how Jesus suffered for us. And what kind of suffering he had gone through, and what did he achieve? And this is one of the three so-called servant of the Lord. In book of Isaiah, there are three passage commonly considered servant of the Lord. So 53 is one of the three. And Isaiah was written about 800 years before Jesus Christ was born. 800 years. And 800 years later, exactly, Jesus was born according to the prophecy. So we know Isaiah is a book really come from God. And also when Jesus was preaching, he also quote the book of Isaiah quite a few times. So the book of Isaiah is really the words of God. Now, we can see the image of Christ in Isaiah. It's very clear that in the book of Isaiah talk a lot of about the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now, we're looking to the outline. The prophecy of denunciation and judgment, chapter 1 to chapter 39, and chapter 40 to 66, the prophecy of comfort and desolation. So, God in the Old Testament always exercised justice upon Israel with mercy. You know, if God totally exercised justice, what is going to do? What is going to happen? Every one of us will die. But God exercised justice in order the Israelite will come back to God after suffering. So with a good intention. And that good intention comes from God's mercy. But in the New Testament, of course, God exercised mercy first. Jesus came to the world first. But if we only emphasize Jesus' love without emphasize Jesus' justice, Jesus Christ's justice, what will happen? The church will be corrupted by sin. And this happened in other denominations. If you are a Christian in other denominations, it's very clear. Other denominations, they don't talk about Ten Commandments. Especially the second Seven Commandments, they don't talk about it. Seven Commandments relate to what? Homosexual marriage, right? Related to divorce and remarry, related to cohabitation, right? Related to premarital sex. Right now, most of the denominations, they don't talk about it. Even so-called mega church, a lot of people talk about mega church. How come through Jesus church not grow? You see the mega church, they grow thousands of people, right? Mega church have many different kind of common trait. The first one, they don't talk about particular doctrine. They don't talk about Holy Spirit. They don't talk about Holy Sabbath. They only talk about the common belief among the Christianity. The second, the mega church don't take any stance about the controversial issue. If you ask them, what your stance about abortion? What your stance about homosexual? What your stance about this and that? They will never answer. No. So that's the reason they were able to attract so many people. But if we don't proclaim the words of God faithfully and only emphasize the love of God, and people continue to live under sin, and the church will be like an apple. It outward look is very beautiful. Inside is corrupted. Corrupted by sin. And God will not abide in that kind of church. So, in New Testament, when we talk about mercy also, we have to emphasize love. Only rejoice in truth. Only rejoice in truth. The Ten Commandments. Prophecy of denunciation and judgment. The second, prophecy of comfort and consolation. A servant of the Lord. There are three locations. Now we quickly go through Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, God was lamented that it's better to raise the cattle, the oxen, than to raise up the Israelites. And does any one of you, you have pet in your home? Pet, right? What? Dog? Anybody raise a cat? No cat, only dog. Oh, okay, yeah. Why you raise a prepared? Huh? Oh, okay. One of the common traits is you raise a pet, when you go back home, the dog come in and so going around, right? And moving the tail, right? You feel, wow, oh, I really love the dog, right? If you raise a dog and go back home, the dog just don't look at you. Pretend you did not come. Only when the dog is hungry and start to bark you. What are you going to do? You are going to give it away, right? The cat the same. No. When you raise up the cat when you go home, the cat is so so loving and approach you, right? Oh, so a lot of people like pet. And God was limited to say the Israelite not compared with the animal. When you raise the animal has love in return to you. But when they raise the Israelite, the Israelite was so indifferent to God himself. Oh. So we always ask a question, if we are God, what is going to happen? If you play the role of God, what is going to happen? The heaven will not remain until time, until nowadays, right? If we were God, it have been destroyed a long time ago already. Right? Yeah, because humans are so indifferent to God. No, don't know how to appreciate and complain a lot. Oh, and worship the idol. Oh, so, this is chapter 1, starting from God complained that Israelites has no love to the God who raised them up. Oh. And then we look into chapter 6. Chapter 6, in that generation, God wants to use a person to warn them and bring them back. And that person called Isaiah. And before God called upon Isaiah, what did God do? God showed a vision how the angel, what is angel? Seraphim, serving God. And what is the meaning of seraphim? Seraphim means burning. Burning has two meanings. The first meaning is burning is very hot. The second meaning is very pure. So seraphim serving God with zeal. And seraphim serving God with purity, because of burning fire. Oh. So what does that mean to us today? Right? In spiritual realm, seraphim was able to see God face by face. Right? So if we draw ourselves closer to God, and we experience more about God, we will become very fervent. Why? Because God is so good. And God can inspire us a lot. So the best motivation to serve God is what? It's God himself. The best motivation to serve God is God himself. The reason I serve God because God himself, I feel so wonderful, so noble. So I want to serve him. That is the most noble motivation. So when a person really draws self to God, see the beauty of God, authority of God. Now, then all of a sudden, we say, we will feel serving God itself is a blessing. Serving God itself, it's a what? It's an opportunity. Now, before God called Isaiah, what happened? God saw him the vision. The Almighty God sit in the throne high above. And seraphim was shouting, holy, 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 and the whole temple was shaking full with the glory of God. And when Isaiah saw that vision, what happened? What was the first reaction when Isaiah saw the vision? Yeah. You don't know. In chapter 6. The Isaiah saw the vision. The first response is, I am a sinner. Right? The reason a person knows sin, because the person stands before the Almighty God, the Holy God. All of a sudden, we know we are sinners. And if we are very far away from God, we will never know I have sinned. Yeah, because we lack a standard. We lack a mirror. Yeah. And God sent the angel to use the charcoal to cleanse his mouth. And after Isaiah was cleansed up, and the calling of God to him. And Isaiah said, here am I. So this is a model service in chapter 6 before Isaiah was called by God to serve him. And chapter 9, and talk about there's a great light shine upon the people who live under the shadow of death. And when Jesus Christ started his ministry, the Bible quote is a fulfillment of book Isaiah chapter 9. Yeah. So we know Isaiah is really a book of God. And then chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, is talk about from the stump of Jesse, right? A branch will grow and will bear the fruit. And verse 2 talk about the Spirit of God will dwell in that person. It's a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of a power, and a spirit of knowledge and fear. And that is Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ can manifest so differently because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. And today that Holy Spirit is a spirit we receive from God. So if we continue to pray and filled by this Holy Spirit, we will gradually grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's chapter 11. And then you can see a lot of judgment to all the nation and to the Israelite. And when we reach to chapter 30, then we know the Israelite facing the attack of foreign nation. And so Israelite tried to make political alliance with Egypt, and God was not pleased. Why? Because God's chosen people are supposed to rely on God. When God allows the foreign nation to attack God's chosen people, there must be a reason. So if they can find out the reason and repent and return, and God will deliver them out of the hand of the foreign nation. But instead of reflect themselves, return and repent, they try to outwardly rely on a nation who worship the other gods. So God was not pleased. So eventually, the other nation of Egypt did not save them. Actually become shame to them. Chapter 30. And if we reach to chapter 40, you can see chapter 40 and 41, 42. Before chapter 40, you can see a king called Hezekiah, right? This is a mighty miracle happened. Hezekiah prayed to God to extend his life, and God extended his life how many years? 15 years with a sign, the sundial, the shadow, move back 15 degrees. It's almost impossible if we have some kind of scientific knowledge, right? So Isaiah, Hezekiah. But Hezekiah, in the last days, make one mistake. What was that? If you look into verse 4, 39, verse 4. What did they see in your family? The prophet asked Isaiah, the Hezekiah. And Hezekiah showed up all his property. And God proclaimed that everything you have will be captured. So God don't want us to show off. Whatever we have, the best way is to glorify the name of God. And chapter 40, you talk about the Almighty God, the God who created the heaven and earth. And compared with the Almighty God, who am I? So verse 15, we just like a drop of water in a bucket. And we just like a dust in the balance. What is a dust in the balance? Can you see dust? You cannot see it. Is there dust? Yes. How come you cannot see it? Too tiny. So in the eyes of God, we are just like nothing. Because God is so great. The reason the Bible used several chapters to describe the greatness of God, because in that generation, people worship idol. So God want them to know God is so great. Why did you worship idol? Idol is man-made God, right? And the Almighty God is the one who created human being, right? If a person worship idol, the person should worship the one who create idol. It's because he's so powerful. He is able to create God for you to worship, right? He's more powerful than idol. No. So it's very difficult to go through the ration, right? If people can create idol, can create God, then the people are more powerful than God, right? Oh. So chapter 40, several chapter talk about the Almighty God. And also, in the later part, the Bible also prophet, chapter 45. Cyrus will become the vessel of God. If we ask a question, only God will only use the godly people as his vessel. Is it right or wrong? God will only use godly people as his vessel. Right or wrong? The answer is wrong. Cyrus is a king who don't worship God, but God still use him as a vessel to achieve God's purpose. No. So later on, the Cyrus give a decree and ask Israel to go back and to rebuild the temple. No. And chapter 53 and chapter 58. Chapter 58 is talk about how to observe the Sabbath from verse 13 to 14. How to observe the Sabbath. One word. Rejoice in the Lord. If you can write 10, 20, 30 items, right? Sabbath, what should I do? What should I not do? One sentence. Rejoice in the Lord. If we hold on the principle and the way we keep the Sabbath, well, pretty much in the right direction. Rejoice in the Lord. That's all. Put the personal stuff aside. So start from Friday evening. And this is related to the church work. The best way is no entertainment, no late night movie, and no internet, no Facebook. Everything, no. Why? Because this is holy day. Rejoice in the Lord. That is the only way we keep Sabbath. If we keep the Sabbath, then what is going to happen? God will elevate us to the higher ground and use the property of Jacob to feed us. Elevate means our spirituality will be lifted higher. When our spirituality lifted higher, you are able to see far away. When our spirituality reaches to very high, how far can you see? You will see very far. How far is very far? That far is called eternity. Where is eternity? In heaven. So Sabbath will lift up your spirit. You can go heaven. And go see heaven. Eternal rest there. And what is the property of Jacob? The property of Jacob is that piece of land. Canaan. And Canaan referring to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit. So if we really enjoy the Sabbath, sin cannot control us. That means righteousness. And we will be very peaceful, no fear, and no worry. And we will be very joyful. If a person has no sin entangled, and peaceful and joyful, and what kind of life it is? It is a life in the world, like in heaven. Right? So it's possible. That is the promise of the Bible. Through keeping the Sabbath. Now, 61 onwards also talk about the prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. And 64, we are the clay, God is the potter. So we are created by God. Since we are created by God, God has his authority over us. Right? Because we are created by him. So nobody can say, I don't need God. Why? Without God, we cannot survive even 1 second. God is above all. God is through all. The reason your heartbeat continue is because God's power is there. The reason all the earth living beings keep on surviving because God's power is there. God is through all. God is above all. This is the book of Isaiah. And then when we finish Isaiah, we go to Jeremiah. J- Nehemiah had one very important task. What was the task? Verse 10. We read this verse, then we finish this section. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, I have this day set over the nation and over the kingdom to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. So, the mission of Jeremiah is to root out, is to pull down, is to destroy. About what? Their older concept, their older way of life, their older culture. They're all the practice. And it's very difficult. Why? Because people don't want to change. So if we want to become a new person, go through the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 10. Right? Root it out, the gamble. Root it out, the TV. Root it out, the internet. Some kind of bad habit. Then we were able to build up a new and better spiritual habit. Which really can edify us. So this is Jeremiah. And when did Jeremiah was chosen by God to serve him? When? According to chapter 1, when did Jeremiah was chosen to serve him? Chapter 1, verse 4. Then the words of the Lord come to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you as a prophet to the nation. So when did God choose Jeremiah? Before he was born, right? Hey, maybe some of you, God already chose you before you were born. But we don't know yet, right? One day we will know God's calling to you. Before you were born, God already destined you to serve him. So one day God call you, you have to say, I am here, right? Thank God. You know, respond to God's calling positively. Then you will live a different life. Okay, let's pray inside.